Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Saturday, December 9th, 2017. I am live today here at the PlayStation Experience in Anaheim, California. It's Sony's annual event that's open to the public with lots of games to play and some awesome announcements. The big announcements, of course, last night at Sony's rather informal press conference. It was a much more casual event with a bunch of couches lining the stage and game designers coming out and sort of hanging out, showing off their games and talking about some things that we can look forward to in 2018 on the PlayStation platform. And a lot of those things were on display here today at PlayStation Experience. I got a chance to get hands-on with some of them. A lot of the biggest announcements, of course, had to do with PlayStation VR. And for me, who is a huge VR fan, that was music to my ears because I'm so pleased that sales have been steady on PlayStation VR and Sony understands that it is a platform worth supporting and that people are excited to play games on that technology. So I was pleased to see some cool PlayStation VR announcements last night and get hands-on today with them, including, we'll start with The Last Guardian on PlayStation VR. Now, this is, of course, not the entire game. It's merely a brief demo, more of a proof of concept of what The Last Guardian would be like in VR. This is Team Ico's game that was released almost exactly a year ago now. And it just seems like the perfect kind of thing for VR. It's about size and scale. I remember reviewing it a year ago saying, man, this game would be perfect for VR. And I played through the entire demo, which is going to be released next week for the public for free. It is very brief. It's only about 20 minutes or so. Just a snapshot in the middle of the game, you interacting with Trico. It's in first-person perspective, which, of course, The Last Guardian is not. So it is an adjustment there. Movement is not free. It is a node-to-node teleportation system where you look in the direction of where you want to move. You see little areas that you can highlight that you can instantly teleport to. And it's all about moving through the environment in that way, picking up those energy barrels that Trico loves eating, feeding them to Trico, and getting to new places. It is very, very much a demo in the sense that not much happens. It's very small. It's just a taste. And in that sense, it's a bit disappointing. But all of the things that you think would be cool about it in VR very much are. It is amazing to look at Trico up close in VR. One of the first things that happens in the demo is that Trico nuzzles up next to you and looks you, you know, bends down and looks at you right in the eye and then nuzzles up with you. And that sense of scale, that sense of distance and relationship with Trico is really striking in 3D in VR. And that's cool, seeing Trico's feathery fur body up close like that. It's so cool. And the world of The Last Guardian, that giant, strange, mysterious, empty, you know, former castle or city on the hill that it takes place in, that very much Team Eco style abandoned paradise that they have come to create so well over the course of their games, just looks spectacular in VR. And you eventually get to an outdoor sequence, one of the moments that's very famous from The Last Guardian from its early trailers was leaping and missing a jump and then Trico leaning down and grabbing you with his mouth and saving you at the last second. That happens in VR in first person, and it's just utterly breathtaking. It's a cool moment. Again, overall, I think a relatively disappointing brief snapshot of what it might be like, but it's cool that it's coming in very soon, and it is coming for free, and it actually is pretty neat for PlayStation VR owners to get this idea of what games like this will be like very soon. The other surprise VR announcement last night was Wipeout coming to VR, and I got a chance to play that as well, get my face on with that game as well, and that is just as wild and balls to the wall as you would expect. There was a joke last night on stage. Sean Layton said they would not be supplying the barf bags for Wipeout in VR. I found that to be an unfortunate joke because it reinforces a stereotype that I think is less and less true about VR, that it induces nausea. And I think the people from the outside go, yeah, Wipeout's going to be nauseating. I played it with all of the comfort options turned off. So there are a number of comfort options available in Wipeout VR to try to mitigate any sense of motion sickness that people might get. I turned those off because I tend to have gotten my VR legs at this point. And I found it to be thrilling and incredible. Unlike most versions of Wipeout, Wipeout VR allows you to sit in a cockpit view. So you've got like a first-person cockpit view. You can look down and see your body controlling the Wipeout hover vehicle or whatever it is. And it's cool to have that in cockpit view. And I think in that cockpit view, it mitigates a lot of that nausea that one might get because you have that static point of constant in your view. You have the cockpit itself to center your mind on. That's what people early in VR talked about too with games like Eve Valkyrie, was that the cockpit itself can prevent any of that motion sickness. And when I popped into the other view, which you can do just by hitting triangle at any time, that classic Wipeout third-person view, it did get me a little woozy. So, I think the cockpit view is what most people are going to play it in. But in that view, it is thrilling. I mean, flying off the racetrack in Wipeout, as one does, is an utterly jaw-dropping moment. It's thrilling, it's terrifying, because you're like plummeting to your death. Wipeout is all about speed. It feels just crazy fast in VR. It feels like you're defying gravity and zipping around and flying from spot to spot. It's really quite something. They've done a great job with retaining that sense of speed and allowing you to be inside the experience. It's just, I'm not into racing games and I'm not really into Wipeout, but I was pretty taken by the experience of playing it. I also got my face on Firewall, which is the other new VR game that was announced. 4-on-4, very much a Rainbow Six Siege type, real world, authentic, squad-based, tactical first-person shooter. One team attacks, one team defends, 4-on-4. We played a nighttime map going into a like South American-looking building to plant an explosive. And it's full-on, smooth movement, VR, freedom of movement, using the aim controller. They only had the aim controller available as the input device, and it clearly is made for that. I mean, the aim controller really is, I think, the PSVR's killer peripheral, far superior to the Move controllers or the DualShock. And it allows that freedom of movement with the dual sticks, and it allows you to feel like you're holding a rifle. I mean, this game just shines with it. You know, it's still, I think, held back a little bit by the PlayStation VR tech in that, you know, you're only able to face one direction for the thing to read you. I did have some moments where it felt like I didn't quite know where my bullets were going. Even in Farpoint, I felt like I always knew where I was shooting with that aim controller. But in Firewall, I think they have a bit of a ways to go in order to communicate to the player where you're shooting, because there's no reticle, there's no laser sight. I think the game would benefit from one of those so that I was able to, you know, aim more directly. Even holding up to be able to look down the sights didn't quite work as well as it does in a game like Farpoint. So this is still in development, and I think they have a ways to go with that. But just the pure team dynamic of the game in VR is a blast. Talking to your teammates, strategizing, going through hallways and, you know, check your corners, everybody. And, oh my God, I spotted him shooting, you know, move around, flank. All that stuff we were doing in a 4-on-4 environment was so fun. And it's fun in those games when they're not in VR, but the fact that you're there and it feels like they're all around you. At one point when I was playing our match, I was the last man standing in one of the rounds we played, and all of my teammates got to continue to observe me and try to call out where the enemy was, and I felt like just this scared guy running around 1-on-4. It's really fun, and it looks good. I think they're going to iron out some of the more wonky tech aspects of it. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, 2 million PlayStation VRs sold. 4-on-4, what are the queue times going to be like? Are there going to be bots that fill out the rest of your team? Time will tell, but I think this is a promising game, especially with the popularity of stuff like Rainbow Six Siege. I think people doing it in VR with that aim controller is going to be a very compelling experience, and I think a very popular one on the platform. I've been playing a ton of other stuff today at PlayStation Experience as well, including the new remake of The Shadow of the Colossus, which looks just gorgeous. They've really done a loving, loving job of turning the game into a very modern graphic representation of a very old game. I mean, it retains some of that janky control scheme and some of the strange movement, but I think that's the charm of The Shadow of the Colossus as well, the craziness of trying to scale those monsters, and you're doing it in the most beautiful version of the game. It really does hold up and stand next to very modern games now, and I think it's going to be very much worth replaying. Truly stunning, especially as I was playing it on a beautiful HDR television. So, Shadow of the Colossus, I'm very excited for the remake. Also, I got to play a game that I think was just announced at Paris Games Week, a beautiful indie game called The Gardens Between, which is this game that kind of takes place in this dreamlike world of islands that are made up of memories and touchstones from these two boys' childhood. It's these two young high school kids that are trying to traverse these islands and take a lantern of light from the beginning to the end, to the pedestal at the top of these islands. The islands are very small and circular, and you kind of wind your way up them and you get to the top and you place this lantern of light in the top and you move on to the next island. And the way you move them is you don't control them directly. You control time, and they are moving through the island, moving around it and moving up it, but you control whether they move forward or backward in time, and there are things along their path that prevent them from going forward in time, and then you can manipulate those things and use the time mechanic itself to align their path and ensure the light in their lantern makes its way with them all the way to the top. It's a beautiful puzzle game. It really is gorgeous. The art style is not really like anything I've ever seen. It's sort of cartoony, but just really, really beautiful, painterly and beautiful. And I was very taken by The Garden Between. It is going to be very much on the top of my most anticipated list. Beautiful puzzles, and just this ethereal sense of memory, like you're stepping through these memories that are represented by these islands of sort of cobbled together iconography from your memories. Like there's one that I played that was all sort of the memories of video when you're a kid, like there's an old VCR or an old NES controller, and things are just sort of stuck in the side of these mountains, and you have to manipulate time to pop the cassette out of this VCR so that it lands and they can use that as a ramp to walk up. Hard to explain, beautiful to play. The Garden Between was a big surprise at this year's PlayStation Experience for me.